This is Pastor Michael Eaton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly Eaton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's Eaton. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the word.
Dear Pastor Conklin and his lovely wife, Pastor Colbert, and Reverend Ford, and my adopted son, Reverend Hutchins. I want to thank my wife for her introduction.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Deacons of Bethlehem, would you please stand? The rest of the Bethlehem members, would you please stand? I want to thank you for traveling with us. And have you made it seated. Thank you for traveling with us. And we're going to take this time to get into the Word. Amen.
All right. Amen.
You have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 4 through 11, and this, I'm going to be reading from the NIV. It reads a little different. Would you please stand in reverence to the Word of God? Stand symbolically saying that I will stand on the Word of God.
All right.
1 Samuel 17, verses 4 through 11. You have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It reads as following. Beginning with verse 4, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scaled armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man, and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, he will become our subject and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man. Give me a man and let him fight each other." On hearing the Philistine words, Samuel and all of Israel were dismayed and terrified.
All right.
You may be seated in the household of the Lord.
Amen.
May be seated in the household of the Lord. I'd like to share a message today entitled "The Little Boy Blues." The little boy blues. And when you suffer from the little boy blues, you suffer from three things. The little boy blues causes you to flee. The little boy blues you to fluster, and the little boy blues causes you to fear. We want you to know today that your manhood is determined by the magnitude of your God. Your manhood is determined by the magnitude of your God. I want to thank you, Dr. Cochran, for this invitation to address the annual Brotherhood's Day. Brotherhood, men. Your theme this year was, let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. God has given me this text to address the brothers in the house.
Well,
we give the sisters permission to listen in and to apply what you need to apply to what God is saying for you in your life.
Well,
brothers, brotherhoods, men. It's so wonderful to see all of these men, and especially it's wonderful to see young men in the house today as we celebrate brotherhood. And but we don't just want to celebrate brotherhood today. We want to challenge you today to be a true man, to be a true man. There was a St. Louis artist who penned the words to a song entitled The St. Louis Blues. I believe it was W.C. Handy, and he was known as the architect of the blues, one of the only American, one of two American music forms that was birthed here in America. All other music forms came from everywhere else except hip-hop.
Well,
and he penned the words to the song, The St. Louis Blues. I'm not much of a blues man, and I don't like blues at all. But in my day, I've heard of Bobby Blue Bland and some of the other blues singers. In the text today, we don't have W.C. Handy or we don't have Bobby Blue Bland singing the blues, but we do have the people of God, the Israelites, singing the blues. As a matter of fact, I call it the Little Boy Blues, because it's kind of ironic that when this man stood out and cried out to the army of Saul and the army of Israel, he posed the question and he said, send me a man. Send me a man. And he addressed Saul in this text, and Saul was a taller man than most. The average size man is about 5'8", and they said that Saul stood head and shoulders above the average man. So ideally, you would have thought that if any man would have come to face Goliath, it would have been Saul. But Saul was too busy singing the Little Boy Blues. Oh, not only Saul was singing the Little Boy Blues, but the rest of Israel's army was singing the Little Boy Blues as this giant who was thought to be 9'9", the Amplified Bible calls him about 10 foot tall. Oh, you'd have thought that when he stood out and said, send me a man twice, that at least somebody in the midst of the armies of God would have been bold enough, at least some man would have been willing to stand up and fight for a living and awesome and able God. But they did not stand. They were singing the Little Boy Blues. I call it the Little Boy Blues because, when you don't know who the God is that you serve, you will begin to shrink back. When you don't know the God that you serve, you will become fearful. When you don't know the God that you serve, you will be afraid. Ironically, in the text, the only somebody that was willing to stand up against Goliath was not
trying to fight each other, but they were so afraid that they fled instead of fight.
Oh,
hello, somebody. Oh, and I was reminded of that verse that's in Romans chapter 8:31 that says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, then who can stand against us? Somebody here, you're concerned about a problem. You're concerned about a situation, and that situation will cause you to flee as opposed to fight. And God has sent me here all the way from Paul Valley, Oklahoma, to remind you that you serve a true living God who's able and who's extremely above all anything you ask or can imagine. Oh, his God, his Father.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, then who can be against us? Thank you, neighbor. Neighbor. Oh, neighbor. His God is for you. Then who can be against you? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that touched the armies of the living God? And God wants you not to flee, but he wants you to fight. He wants you not to give up hope, but he wants you to hope against hope. He sent me here to remind you that he is a deliverer to those who need deliverance. He is a healer to those who need healing. He is revival to those that need reviving. Oh, he is your God and King. Cause you to blush, which means to be dismayed. Then the text say in verse 11, on hearing the Philistine words, Saul and all of Israel were motivated.
No.
Y'all read the same Bible that they say they were motivated to?
No.
They said that they were dismayed.
That's it.
They were flustered. Oh, some of you are sitting here today in the sanctuary. You're flustered about the situation. You're dismayed. You're confused. You're discombobulated. You don't know what to do. And you're asking God, what shall I do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? Oh, what you need to do is to stop singing the little boy blues. Thank you, neighbor. They were dismayed, and they were singing the little boy blues.
Yeah.
And God reminded me of what Isaiah 41:10 says. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So you need to stop singing the little boy blues and begin to sing some of these praise songs that the singers sung before we got to this point in the service. You have learned that song that says, oh, I'm not going to be afraid because God is with me. I'm not going to be dismayed because God is my God. I won't be afraid because God says that he will
and you gotta sing about the God that you serve in Jesus' name. Go ahead and give God another hand clap of praise. So do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Oh, the liars in our lives will call us flee. The lies in our lives many times will cause us to be flustered or dismayed. And we start to sing the Little Boy Blues, and it causes us to fear.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I don't mean to meddle here. But somebody said, I don't know if I need to use this illustration. I thought we used to be with here with men. Do what the Lord says.
All right.
He said, preacher, believe what you say, because God can help you out of here if you say something.
Yeah.
Someone once said, what do you call a man who is afraid? A wall man.
I think I need to say that again.
Because when things go bump in the night, it's your job as a man to what? Bump back in Jesus' name. You don't need to be come looking at the colors and say, honey, would you go see what that night is? In Jesus' name. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Throw in the army of the living God. Don't be afraid. You've been trained for such a time as this. Oh, God made you different than he made woman. He made you different. He made you harder than a woman. So you need to stand up and be a man. He gave you muscles. What they did, they were afraid on hearing the Philistine words.
Yes.
Samuel and all of the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Have you ever been terrified?
No.
Have you ever been afraid? All of us here will say that at one time in our lives, we have been afraid of something.
That's right.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're afraid of, but there are many people who are very afraid. Guess what the number one fear is? Oh, many times the number one fear is just speaking in public. Hello, somebody. Others are afraid of snakes, and others are afraid of ghosts. But I ain't scared of no ghosts. Hello, somebody. You say, when something's strange in your neighborhood, who you gonna call? Now, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, bro.
they just Ghostbusters, Robocop. They're gonna be like me. I'm gonna tell this story. I'm not proud of this story, but a lady came to me and said, Pastor Eton, oh, I need you to come to this house. This house is speaking to one of my neighbors. And I said, oh yes, the house is speaking. What is it saying? And she said, the house is saying, get out, and we need you to come over there and pray.
Anyway, I'll leave that alone.
But this powerful nation couldn't stand up against the God that I Bible says, to me.
Yeah.
And if you're afraid today, you better grow up. Say to your neighbor, it's time to grow up. God says for me to not to be afraid. God says for me as a man, oh, part of this brotherhood, to stand firm. Oh, he raised you for such a time as this. Put you in the place for such a time as this. Oh, you have the answers, but you got to stand on that.
Neighbor,
I don't know what you're going through, but you better stand firm. In Jesus' name, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. It's not over. God has given you the victory, but you've got to make your stand. Oh, you've got to face. Oh, maybe there's no life of cancer. You've got to face. Don't be afraid.
All right.
You're part of a great brotherhood of men who know God and believe in you and will stand with you and pray with you. But you can make it today.
Glory.
You can make it today.
Yes, sir.
You can make it today. Say to your neighbor, you can make it.
You can make it.
Sometimes God speaks in a still small voice.
Yeah.
Whisper this to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, God is with you.
Hallelujah.
God is with you.
Glory.
Be in this place. Put your head in hell. To be in this place with the victory before the victory.
Yeah.
And if you know how to have the victory before the victory, just you just simply believe what God said.
That's it. Right.
Regardless of the circumstance. Just believe what God says and leave this place with peace and joy.
Uh-huh.
Leave this place having laid your burdens down.
Yeah.
Because you know that God's got your back.
All right.
For the young man today, say to him, neighbor. God's got your back. Nothing to worry about. In Jesus' name. All eyes closed and heads bowed. I'm so glad that Jesus did sing the little boy blues when he was in that Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that Jesus didn't flee. I'm so glad that Jesus wasn't flustered and was not afraid.
Right.
And he did have to struggle, and he had to struggle, but saying this one sentence, Father, not my will. But thy will be done.
Yeah.
Let the men in here, you've got to learn to say those words in the midst of your circumstance.
Yeah.
Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And when you're able to pray that prayer, you can lead your Garden of Gethsemane. And if you have to be crucified, you can go and be crucified. But you can know, as Jesus knows, that he didn't have to do crucified. He could have called 10,000 angels.
Yeah.
But he knew that it was the will of God, and this time in your life, this trouble could be God's will for your life.
Yes.
Trouble on trouble. Jesus left that Garden of Gethsemane and was convicted of sins and crimes that he didn't commit. They said he was guilty, and they whooped him, and they beat him, and they mocked him, and they scorned him.
Yes.
They put a crown of thorn on his head, and put a cross on his back, and led him through the streets of Jerusalem. But I'm so glad that he wasn't singing the little boy blues. I'm so glad that he carried that cross as far as he could. I'm so glad that he went to that hill called Golgotha. I'm so glad that he was nailed to that cross. I'm so glad that he was raised between two thieves. I'm so glad. Yeah, they couldn't take his life away, but he had to give his life away. I'm so glad that he wasn't singing the little boy blues, but he said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And he gave up the ghost. I'm so glad.
This is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. Before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life, get right with God, to stop smoking, cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Falls Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listen throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family. because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art building, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com.